हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 2, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, page 65. By such conclusive studies, I know the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Only by knowing these glories can one become strong and fixed in attachment to Him. Srila Prabhupada. One can know the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only by reaching, in knowledge, a conclusive decision about Sri Krishna, strengthened by bona fide study of the conclusions of the Acharyas. Yes, so one has to, having studied, right, you study something from as given by the Acharyas, the conclusions they give, and then one has that faith, that kind of fixed aspect connected to Lord Chaitanya. Only then are you going to be able to be absorbed in this devotional service. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can we say that technically we get faith from hearing?
Yes, we get faith. Well, you could technically say you get faith from association. Because it's only when you hear from bona fide persons, then you get that faith. So that means then you have to be in some way associated. Does that make sense? So that's the thing here, is that only by reach in knowledge, a conclusive, strengthened by bona fide study of the conclusions of the Acharyas. Right, so how are we going to know the glories of Lord Chaitanya except by the Acharyas? That's why it's so important, the association. It's the actual thing that makes the whole process work. It means only when you're in association, then you'll take up the nine processes of devotional service. So it can't be, underestimated how important it is. Right? Yes.
Here it's very much emphasized about the conclusion of the philosophy rather than the technical or other things.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes we may see some acharya may not be, somebody in the line may not be so much giving technical knowledge, so people think it's...
Yes. Because the conclusion already includes the technical knowledge. Because the technical knowledge's point is to come to that conclusion. Just like when we see in logic, you start with the point that you're trying to make. Then you're going to give reasoning for that, and then you're going to get into all the explanations and technical points and everything like that. So we see is that technical knowledge is just a support for the activity, which is a support for pleasing Krishna. That's the whole process. So when conclusion is there, as Krishna says in Gita, he's of the logical processes, he's conclusion. Then that conclusive element means now if we have conclusion, there's no need of speculation. So this is why conclusion is the glory, you could say, of the Vaishnava Acharyas. Because from there, now you just take it and apply it into your position. Means you're using that same process of reasoning, but it's based on the conclusion. You know this is what's correct. You don't have to see that it's correct. You have to see how does this apply in your life. Then applying that, then you can please Krishna. While conclusion, you could say, is the bane of the modern academy or any scholar and speculator. That they don't like conclusion because then it means you have to do something. And means the point of being an armchair speculator is just comfortable sitting in a chair and, pontificating on whatever you're thinking. And you feel something's being done, right? You know, the mind is moving about, it's going around the universe, and, you know, like this, and it seems to be going in a logical pattern, so then you can feel you're intelligent. So one can feel one's doing a lot. And you have friends, and they also take part in the speculative discussion, throw in a few interesting angles, you know, and so everybody has a good time. But it's just about them having a good time based on the intellectual platform, you know, like that. Well, actually, you'd say it's mental platform. The intelligence is the medium being used, as opposed to the senses. So the problem comes up is that's all the more they can get. They can't get anything beyond that. So when you have the conclusions that we're dealing with, you know, the absolute truth is presented in the Vedas. That then is being given in the Bhagavatam. That then is the angle by which Vyasadeva has understood the Bhagavatam as given by Narad Muni. Then that conclusion on how he's presenting, then we can understand. And that, and so then it brings out how Krishna is in control of everything. That's his realization. How Krishna, being the original person, then he is controlling everything. Everything is one with him, but different from him. And he's controlling the material energy, but not under the control of the material energy. And so by understanding him in that position as the original person, the origin of all manifestations, right? Any expansions in Vishnu Tattva, the Jivas, the Shakti Tattva, all these are all coming from him and based on him. Understanding this, that this is Krishna, the original Krishna in Braj, and now knowing that Lord Chaitanya is that same Krishna, with this, now you can start to appreciate the you know, prema bhakti. Like that. But otherwise, then one may think all kinds of things, or not, and get distracted by so many things, because the tendency is the if someone has a good scope of intellectual ability, then they're going to consider that using that is their, you know, that's their prowess in Krishna consciousness, or that's what establishes. Because in the material world, you perform an action that gets a result. And so therefore we look at that everything is working by this process of action result. And we're taking it that it's directly, I work in one field, I get the result in that field. So they're looking at it that I'm so, which is true, which is correct. But the problem comes up is that because it's just the use of the intelligence, they're unable, and even though in intelligence you're supposed to be able to discriminate in that, they can't tell the difference between what is transcendental and what's material. And so then they think they're working in the same field. Yes, see, this is technical subject matter. Right? So it's intellectual. That's their idea. So therefore, with my intellect, I will work in this field and I'll make progress in this field. Which is how it works in everywhere else. But what they're not understanding is this is not intellectual, this is transcendental. And the intellect doesn't have the capability of functioning in that level. It's two different things. It's not the same field. So, but due to lack of training, they think it is. Does that make sense? So the difficulty comes up is they're not working in the same field. So only since it's transcendence, that means the only way to work on that is functioning in that capacity of transcendence. And that capacity of transcendence on the platform of Bhagavan means bhakti. So unless one's working in bhakti, you won't get return in bhakti. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that it appears intellectual, but it's not. It's just Krishna's glory. It's just the facts. But those facts can only be perceived by devotion. Otherwise, one will always be confused. You know, it's Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, there was this, I'm not sure where it was, it may have been Bombay, I'm not sure where it was. But some big scholar had come, and you know, elder man, had, you know, was quite well renowned. And Prabhupada asked him, so, you know, who is God? And then the man, well, it's a very difficult, you know, question, and very, very difficult point. There's so many things to consider, and this and that. And he went like this. Then Prabhupada turned to an 8-year-old kid from the Gurukul and said, "Who's God?" He said, "Krishna." He said, "See, why was that so hard?" You know? So that's the whole point, is that they get into this thing that the simple is for simpletons, right? And so the more complicated means the more intelligent, the more advanced, the more developed. So therefore, if you're dealing with these higher levels, it must be more complicated than all this, and only super intelligent people can be that complicated to get an idea. But they don't want to actually have a conclusion, because then you have to do something with it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, we're discussing, okay, who's supposed to take out the garbage? Right? Let's say you have a bunch of brothers there, and they could sit down on the couch, get out something to drink, something to snack on, and start a conversation on who's responsible to take out the garbage. Right? Now, if they stick to the proper academic method, right, then that, you know, they'll throw out the different things, the different angles. You know, some will come in from the youngest should do. Someone else may, you know, because they're junior, the service. Someone else may say, well, the senior should do because they set the example, they set the standard. They're the responsible one. Only others are there for assisting them. And then they said, yes, exactly. So therefore, it's the elder's responsibility. He delegates that to the younger. And then, you know, it can just go on and on and on, as long as they follow the academic method. Right? If they just follow the normal, you know, brothers method, they'll probably kill each other before they finish their snacks. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like this, they could go on. Now, do they want to come to a conclusion? No, because that means then somebody's got to get up out of the chair, or maybe all of them, because there's, by this time, the conversation's been going on. There's a lot of garbage. You know, there's easily one bag for each of them. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so like that. So that's the whole point. They don't want to come to a conclusion, because then they have to get out of their chair and actually do something. And that is the greatest fear of the, you know, of a scholar, and especially the modern academy. They don't like conclusion, because then if you have conclusion, it means then everything goes in that direction. It has to be practical and go in that direction. Well, they want it to be, oh, free, I could go in any direction, any time, wherever I feel. So it's the flavor of speculation that's dear. So that's the difference between the Vaishnavas. Conclusion is where you start. You start with conclusion. So that starting with conclusion, that is greatly fearful. Right? Because then it restricts. And then it's only how much you've applied yourself in bhakti is how advanced you are. But by this, you can just, by how intelligent you are. And even that, it's not necessarily that you're intelligent, that you've gone through the hoops that they say you're intelligent. You know, you go through the thing, you get your PhD, and then by that standard, you're respected as intelligent. But the thing is, you know, how intelligent are you? You know, you may have worked in a field and focused on it for, you know, your 4 years and put in the efforts and everything like that, but you still come to no conclusion. So how can it be used? Well, that same area that you're working in, there's a good chance that there's some person in the public sector who's working on that and has been doing that for the last 20, 30 years. But because they're working with conclusion and practical, it's not so intellectual, because it's gone beyond that the intellectuals will say, well, they're junior. So you're dealing with a very sad situation, that you have individuals that, due to pride of their intellectual prowess, they think that they can know everything, when according to their own definition, they only know what area they worked in. Like if you worked on your paper on the, you know, how you say, the lifespan of the, you know, how you say, the tsetse fly of southern Tanzania, then you cannot speak anything about the tsetse flies in northern Tanzania. It's against the rules. But at the same time, as they'll feel that they could speak on anything. We're talking on this, Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many of them have studied? Right? Just imagine. Right? You start your undergraduate, then you got 4 years there, then another, let's say you do, you know, really well, so another one in your master's, another three there, so that's going to be 8 years. If you spent 8 years, 10 hours a day, you know, like, you know, 5 days a week, like that, studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, under the guidance of, you know, Prabhupada trying to understand the, what would you know? You'd know so much. But instead, we just end up with speculation. So that doesn't have much use. It may sound good in the world, yes, you know, like this and that, but you look at the leaders of the world don't necessarily have degrees. The guys that actually run the place don't necessarily have degrees. They hire guys with degrees as much as they're useful. But you have to know for certain, no one is ever going to hire an Indologist. They're just not. What do you do with an Indologist? You can't make money. You know, you can't do anything. You can't run a government. You can't run a business. You know, you can't even actually help people on the street. You know, it's like, you know, philanthropists won't want them. Altruists won't want them. Who wants them?
They will teach others.
Huh?
They'll teach Indology
even to make some others like that. You can maybe use them as bait, you know, on a fishing ship or something like that. You want to catch a blue whale or something, maybe just toss them out there. But, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that he says, no, but it does, you know, you can get so many. He says, can you? It means, yes, that is there, but a lot of times other people are big and they don't have a degree. So the point is if you come to conclusions and you're doing something practically in a field, that's where you'll get recognition. Literally. Right? So, it's not that the academic process isn't valuable. It's just not valuable when all it does is when it avoids conclusion. Then it becomes useless. Even if you do study so much, you can't come to, because if you say, well, it's like this, right there, everybody in the room, you have on the back, on boars, you know boars? You know the wild pigs, right? Then the hair on their back, if they get annoyed, it goes up straight, like that. I'm not sure, is that shackles? No. It's a saying, get your something up. Can't remember, it's been a long time. So, the whole point, as soon as you say, it's like this, every academic in the room is going, oh, wait a minute, wait, you can't say that. Says, hey, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that, Rupa Goswami says that. And if it came down to one Rupa Goswami or 10 billion of you, I'll take Rupa Goswami any day. Like, you know, in fact, you know, hey, throw in a trillion. We're cool. Like that. You know, so the whole point is that there's no value. It is just that, oh, it's yes, if you introduce to somebody, you give someone your card, oh, PhD. Okay, and that was it. You know, that's like you have the Lamborghini and go by someone and go, ooh, nice car. That's all you're going to get out of it. Does that make sense? It's quicker to drive a Fiat downtown because of the bumps and the traffic and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the difficulty comes up is that this point is one can know the glories of Sri Chaitanya only by reaching in knowledge, means as knowledge as given by the scriptures, a conclusive decision about Sri Krishna, that he's the supreme personality of Godhead, the original personality, strengthened by bona fide study of conclusions of the acharyas. Then they're going to give the purports, and that you're going to study it from various angles, or vichar, and then that will make it, so you have to have that faith. So it's based on faith, not academic method. Because the academic method is based on speculation. They say it's about data, but knowledge means conclusion. They're saying, no, it's facts, but the facts are speculative. So whatever facts are there, they change. A new chair comes in, those facts will change. Right? In other words, if you wrote your doctorate today, but you had to actually take that doctorate and have it, they approve it? Huh? Yeah, let's say you go back, you know, a couple of chairs back to the 50s or 40s or, you know, even the 70s, your paper wouldn't fly. And if you take a paper from then and you try to get it from now, if it was being, they wouldn't go. So in other words, unless you think like the guy in the chair, you're not getting anywhere. So it's an attitude of thinking. And that attitude means speculation. It's not about conclusion. You can say, oh no, but you know, it titillates the intelligence. So does this. Who's studying this? So that's the whole thing, is that the acharyas have given plenty of information for applying the intelligence. So we just have to take it. And taking it, then you see, this gives real intelligence. You can apply it in the actual world scenario because you're dealing with Krishna's living entities, Krishna's modes of nature. Right? It's not something else. The academy does not control the world. Right? So actually the easiest thing to do is talk to the businessmen. They'll understand it easier because they need something practical. Then they'll control the academics as now they run the school. So that would be better. So if they are going to do a degree, then do something, you know, like an MBA. But the problem is the businessman doesn't need an MBA, so that might not work either. So this aspect of conclusive decision about how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that conclusion, that's what would get you bhakti. These others, that means if they can be used in Krishna's service, great. But they're not going to get you bhakti. They're just tools that you use. The frying pan will not cook dinner. Just because you have a frying pan, sit around talking about it, I point out, hey, look and check it out, this is what this is, you know, see the layers here and all that, you know, there's so many things, there's this and that, and look at the handle and, you know, all this, and it's not going to cook lunch. You actually have to get in there and cook lunch. And the pan is useful. So yes, intelligence is useful, that's why it says in knowledge. But the point is that without devotion, then intelligence has no meaning. I mean, literally, no meaning. It means for the soul. Yeah, it means it might get you a job, might get you some money that you can pay the bills, and then you get old, and then you die, and then what? So it won't do anything for the soul. Yes? Yes.
May I would die from my scientific research? Scientific mentor, he was not able to put his signature because he drank alcohol. And I asked my manager what to do because my please change professor because he alcoholic. And she told me all our professors are alcoholic. I asked why. So because they thinker, they think so much that they are unable to live without alcohol.
Okay. They should just have a rubber stamp, you know, because that they could probably get somewhere on the page. And nothing else while they're there, you just pick up their arm. Yeah! Okay. What? Yeah, no, it's a big, it's a problem. It's all a problem. Like we said, Rabindranath Prabhu was saying that these professors in Boston, you know, while they're at the pub drinking beer, that's when they're discussing the Sundarvas. Yeah, so it's like, yeah. Yeah, they don't function so good. We're clear on this? So in other words, having this conclusion, because we were asking before, is, you know, why the technical introduction like that? That is so that we're very clear about Krishna's position. And you see this is over and over and over again brought out. Right, any of the prayers are bringing this out. You know, the technical points in the Bhagavatam are, we see, we open with Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Sandarbhas, Nectar Devotion, they're all bringing out this same point. So that means it must be something very important. So that conclusion of how Krishna is the supreme original personality of Godhead, everything else is coming from Him. Right? You know, it's yeah. And how this Lord Chaitanya is that Krishna. Right? That conclusion, starting from there, now you take this movement and then try to apply this into your life. It takes on, you know, then it's fresh. Then it has its dynamic. Right? Okay. Text 119. Just to enunciate the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have tried to describe the glories of Sri Krishna in detail. Right? Because people don't know Lord Chaitanya. They know Krishna. So explaining the glories of Krishna, now we have a context. Now he's saying that Krishna is this self-same Lord Chaitanya. The conclusion is that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of the king of Braja, praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy. I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charanamrita, following in their footsteps. Did he say that the last chapter also?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Yeah, because I didn't think. He says that basically at the end of every chapter.
Every chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, why is that this is mentioning only two lines and within the whole?
Because there is specifically his instructing gurus and like this. So he's learned from them. I mean, the others will also, he'll learn from, but it's under their direction anyway. Right? So they're setting the, because just like we say, we're following the previous acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So in this, then, the Sambandha aspect, the Sambandha Acharya and the Abhideya Acharya. Then Rupa and Sanatana.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Later on, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself will explain that they lived close by and they had diaries, both of them. So according to those diaries, he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Oh, okay.
And others, those who wrote biography of Mahaprabhu, always lived somewhere else. So that's the most...
Okay, okay.
Like first-hand.
First-hand, yes, yes. Also, I've heard that these others then... They explain the pastimes very nicely, but they haven't necessarily gone into great detail about Lord Chaitanya's position and how he's non-different from Krishna. Because their associates, it's just understood. So having appreciated that, then these others, the pastimes make sense. So then you see it's always Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda Thakura that will always mention that the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the most authorized literature on Lord Chaitanya because it includes what all the others have.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Maybe some of the pastimes are more in a nutshell, but it's bringing out who he is and these aspects of these three features of why he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so therefore the Sankirtan movement, you see how he preaches. Then about the cultivation of the devotees and all that, then how he's dealing and all nourishing that whole rasa, and then how he's tasting the prema, Krishna prema in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Right? That's going to start coming up. So I think next chapter will be the external reasons, and then the fourth chapter will be the internal reasons. Conclusion. In an honest search for truth, we must admit that his powers are inconceivable to our tiny brains, right? Because the word inconceivable means it's beyond what we can understand, right? So if someone says the Supreme is inconceivable, that's not a statement that most would argue with, right? It's conceivable that the Supreme, being unlimited, is inconceivable. It's logical. You know, if someone says, no, it's logical. So, if someone wants to discuss, you just bring it to that point. Otherwise, why is there the word?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Somebody says, yeah. This chapter explains that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself. Mahavishnu is the reservoir of all conditioned souls. But Lord Krishna is the ultimate fountainhead, the source of numerous planetary expansions. Lord Krishna's age at the beginning of youth is his eternal form. Right? So, Mahavishnu is where the souls come from because the souls are coming from the Chit Shakti. Right? And so then, for us being here, then that means this, you know, Balaram's the Lord of the Chit Shakti there, but then that's going to come down to Mahanarayan, down to Sankarshan, down to Mahavishnu. That's where you're going to see the manifestation. Right? So therefore, he's the reservoir of all conditioned souls. Because Lord Krishna Chaitanya is non-different from Lord Krishna, he is the cause of all causes. There is no cause beyond him. He is eternal, and his form is spiritual. Lord Chaitanya is directly the Supreme Lord, Krishna, as the evidence of authoritative scriptures prove. A devotee who wishes to advance in Krishna consciousness must have knowledge of Krishna's personal form, his three principal energies, his pastimes, and the relationship of the living entities with him. Right, so this is necessary. You have this, then you move forward. Not something else. It's not, oh, that if we have morals and ethics, or no, if we have a community spirit, or no, if we have good management and all that. None of that's going to do. Those are all useful. But the point is unless you understand Lord Chaitanya, his position, and how Krishna is eternal, how he's in control of the material energy, then all these other things become useless. A waste of time. So, yeah. So it's very important to notice it starts here. Right? In some sense. Then from there, according to your nature, then you add in whatever it is that you can do for Krishna. And that's fine. Right? So therefore, the activities of karma, the activities of jnana are fine to engage in Krishna's service. Because those activities, when engaged in Krishna's service, aren't called karma and jnana. They're only called karma and jnana because of their non-connection to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Therefore, if we understand this, understand the position of pure devotional service, then we're going to try to engage ourselves in Krishna's service free from karma and jnana. Right? So even though we're using karma and jnana in Krishna's service, we're going to be unattached to it and the results of it. We're going to be doing it as service for Krishna. Right? And if there is some attachment, we saw what Rupa Goswami is explaining, by associating with devotees, then gradually, it will move forward until these anarthas go away and you come to pure devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So now, can you say that this poor nida, it's like a sambandha?
The which is sambandha?
The poor, like, person who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness for knowledge of four. Krishna to the form, near this person.
Yes, you can say that would be sambandha jnana. So, yes, so the whole idea is without sambandha jnana, how you move forward. Because if you don't have that, how do you apply it? Well, you know, what do you do with the knowledge? Right? You know, what's that knowledge for? And then what are the results you can gain? Right? So that's why this knowledge specifically must be known.
Yes.
Other knowledge, it will get you a job. That's what it's for. I mean, so much is being made about it, but in the Vedic system, people have occupations. That's what the general knowledge is for. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, you can get your PhD. It will, you know, it's very good chance. You can get a job with it. It will maintain you. Yes. But that's it. Now, how you maintain your life in Krishna consciousness, how you're evolving Krishna consciously, that's the important thing. Otherwise, all that work done to make the money and then it's all wasted, we don't use it in Krishna's service, what's the point? Right? So, it always has to be understood as, yes, they may have a value in making money, but do they have a value in moving forward in Krishna consciousness? You know, like I mentioned, that one devotee in Los Angeles, he used to go down to the university, you know, a few times a week and lecture in the full lecture hall, you know, in comparative religions. So he couldn't run the things himself because he either maximum had a high school degree or he didn't even have that. I think he joined when he was like 15 or something. In those days, nobody cared, you know. So, he doesn't even have a degree, but he's a practitioner of spiritual life. Therefore, he can be brought in as an authority in that area. Of course, under the direction of the professor, you know, that's what makes it, you know, viable in the campus. But he would he'd come in dressed as he is and then speak. They do kirtan, distribute prasad, do the whole thing. Like that. So that was what he was regularly doing. So it doesn't matter. It means you know, then people who do know, they'll accept. See, as if you say someone, oh no, but if you don't have a degree, people aren't going to accept you. That statement is coming out of the mouth of someone who the only claim to fame is their degree. No one wants to hear from them. And that's the only way someone's listened. But if you move actually beyond, you know, the quad, then you'll find that people are interested in solid, you know, something usable, something practical. It's real. So if you're intelligent and can be practical, then that's great. You know? But the whole point is that that's not what makes it work. That's what not what gives us position. Okay. It's like you know, it's always funny, the Bill Gates, he'll speak at universities like that, and I think he only has a high school degree. But they invite him there to speak to all the, you know, the undergraduates about the reality of the world. So, that makes sense. So one has to understand is that, you know, as it goes down, yes, it's like Krishna says, first choice, just surrender to him. Like the gopis did, Maharaj Katvanga, that's your best choice. Second choice, if you can't do that, then you take up sadhana bhakti, right? And then engage in the sadhana bhakti, you know, free from material desire. So, nishkam karma yoga, right? If you can't do that, then you engage your material desires in Krishna's service and all that. So, sakama karma yoga, you use that for Krishna. And all that, that's the third choice. If you can't do that, then be a nice guy, open hospitals, give money in charity, do some nice work for somebody, because at least then you're supporting Krishna's living entities, though you're not giving them much that's of real value, but at least you're giving some value for that's valuable for them right now, because they're also in mundane consciousness. And if you can't do that, then his last point is you can be a scholar. That's the bottom of the line. And if that's all you got going for you. Because you see, the other ones, they're practical in devotional service or practical in the material world. And if you can't do that, then you be a scholar. Right? Because in the modern academy, being a scholar means being an impersonalist.
If you can't do that.
And if you can't do that, yeah, then you could be a Buddhist. Yes. That's the next one. But Krishna says better than that is someone who's doing something practical. Right? Absorption in the Lord and that, and he takes it back up to devotional service. So the whole idea is that the karma of the two, the karmi is going to be able to relate more to Krishna as a person, his pastimes with the devotees, than the impersonalist. Because then you talk about, you know, the things and the tradition and all that. Karmis can appreciate it. But if you talk to jnanis about tradition, their whole life is based on no tradition. They can break down tradition. That's the modern academy is based on breaking the tradition. Not their own tradition, but anything else other than their tradition. That's what it's about. You know, no religion and this and that. You know, it's like we were discussing before in I say Sorbonne? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some professor got kicked out from the university because he brought up the possibility maybe there's God. So you just don't do that. So he got, you know, shown the door. Good thing it wasn't, you know, how you say it, a few years back, or you would have got the guillotine, right? right in the square, right? You know. Yeah. Yeah, so he was lucky. You know, that's the only, maybe the only benefit. So is that clear? So that this conclusion, that being there, then any other aspect has its use. Right? But without this conclusion, any other religious process, knowledge, practice, is useless for the soul to advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? We're clear on that? It's very, very important, because by that faith alone removes the anarthas. What are the anarthas? Right? Karma and jnana. And when you have faith that karma and jnana won't get you bhakti, won't get you Krishna, it's only bhakti will give you bhakti. That faith will get rid of the anarthas coming from karma and jnana. Otherwise, you can grit your teeth and do all that kind of stuff. But the point is ultimately it's going to be surrender to Krishna, surrender to Guru. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can see that all the Vedic literature is based on conclusion.
On conclusion, yes.
Yes, yeah. So, from a practical point of view, the devotees who are writing some essay, they need to use the same thing.
Yes.
This is very confusion.
Yes, yes. You're trying to give the essence. In other words, you're only explaining the technical details enough to support the conclusion.
Yes.
That's what it's for. In other words, conclusion is the primary aspect, and then the logic and explanations and examples and all this, that's in support of the conclusion.
Yes.
So that way it's very clear.
Yes.
Like that. Yes, same thing. That's why we're asking you to write a 200-word essay.
Yes, yes.
Because in writing 200 words, you have to actually know what you're talking about. Otherwise, you can write a 10-page essay, but guaranteed only 200 words out of it will actually say what you want. Because the conclusion is one sentence, and then we need some explanation and all that. So hence the 200 words. For the modern academy is how to take 200 words and make it into 10 pages. Yeah, or a book, yeah, even better. You know? So then the difficulty comes is then where's the conclusion? What does all this mean? And if you ask, well, it could be this, it could be that, you know, they love to leave it hanging in the air, because this conclusion, then if someone can argue against it, then that's out. But if you leave it up in the air, then people can't throw your theory out. Right?
No. First of all, they should understand what is the theory that is in there.
Yes.
They don't understand the theory itself. How we
provoke. Yes, yes.
That's the problem.
Yes, yes, yes. But even they say they understand. It's just like Einstein, supposed to be thrown out. But, you know, everything worked or he worked with. Mm-hmm. And things that he said before are predicted, then they're finding now. But at the same time, they want to say, no, it's this and that. So they'll say, oh, we've got this huge formula, and his formula is in the middle here. But the point is why is his formula part of all that if he doesn't know what he's talking about? You know? Otherwise, yeah, we'd come up with something else. You know, it means they'd be doing this whole thing, they finally get it down, they step back from the board, and when they look at it, you know, then it says, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. You know, like that. And they go, wow! You know, so, yeah, the Middle Ages, they knew what was going on already. Right? Okay. Chapter 3, the external reasons for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pratigya. The greatest ignorance consists of activities, whether religious or irreligious, that are opposed to devotional service. That's the greatest ignorance. Right? It's not knowing, having knowledge. It's that your knowledge, your activity, right? Because the activity is based on knowledge. And that activity you're doing, whether it's religious or irreligious. So religious means it's approved of by the scriptures. Or even just you're taking general. It's approved of by the general public. You know? Or it's irreligious, either way, that the public doesn't accept or the scriptures don't accept it. They're opposed to devotional service. That's why anything that comes up that you're opposed to devotional service, what's the point of it? It's greatest ignorance. Right? When the acharyas say that pure bhakti is free from karma and jnana, and then you say, no, we need karma and jnana to actually come to the platform and improve our quality of bhakti, that's opposed to devotional service. That's misunderstanding. So that's ignorance. We're okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. The third chapter describes the general cause of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. It specifically describes the distribution of love of Godhead. It also describes the religion of the age, which is simply to distribute the holy name of Lord Krishna and propagate the process of loving him. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 17, 315-316. Right, so this is the external reasons, right? So the Samkirtan movement will be the external. Means the external means what you do with the body, the senses, like this. The internal will be what's the mood, what's the attitude, what's his ultimate goal of doing that. Does that make sense? Like, many will take up the external reasons and accept that and preach and everything like that. But when it comes to, let's say, cultivating the devotees, cultivating their own practice, you know, depth in Krishna consciousness, they'll say that's not important. So you have to know, you want to know the full mission. Because it has all these. It's made of individuals, so the preaching will be a generic thing that you'll do to try to cultivate individuals to practice with value Krishna consciousness. Yes?
I once heard the analysis as an explanation that, for example, we have 9 angas of bhakti.
Yes.
And we can become perfect by anyone.
Yes.
You, whatever.
Yes.
So even if we engage only in the external things of Krishna consciousness, we still can make it perfect.
We can. Ourselves. We can. We can, because the external, what you're doing, you're preaching about Krishna, you're practicing about Krishna, so there's nothing wrong there. What we're talking about, the degrees that are opposed to devotional service. We're talking about where people say, no, you shouldn't do this, or we don't need to do this. It's why do that? It's the Acharyas mentioned it. You know, you're not interested, don't do it. You know, that's all. But don't criticize others for doing it. You know, when it's stuff that's authorized. And especially don't bring in modern things and then try to say that this is what's going to make, you know, hey, say, Krishna consciousness great again. Like that. So, yeah. But the point is anything you do, you'll get perfect. That's the advantage of the system. In this chapter, the author has fully discussed the external reasons for the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, after displaying his pastimes as Lord Krishna, thought it wise to make his advent in the form of a devotee to explain personally the transcendental mellows of reciprocal service and love exchange between himself and his servants, friends, parents, and fiancés. According to the Vedic literature, the foremost occupational duty for humanity in this age of Kali is Nama Samkirtana, or congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The incarnation for this age especially preaches this process, but only Krishna himself can explain the confidential loving service performed in 4 principal varieties of loving affairs between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Lord Krishna... Because only Krishna himself can explain that. Means in his form as Narayana, he can explain those others. Right? Because we're basically talking about Braja Bhakti. So only Krishna can explain Braja Bhakti. And the point is Krishna is only going to explain it if we have that surrender to him in that aspect. And so then the problem comes, as the Dvaitacharya pointed out, even though he's Vishnu and could save the whole, you know, all, the whole Mahatattva, no one's interested. So on that reciprocal basis, what can he do? Right? They want to be a cat, so as Super Soli arranges, and then they can become a cat. You know? He's going, you know, that's what they want to do, so Hari Bol. You know, but devotees, they can go up to you and explain and talk about Krishna and about devotional service, even if you're not interested. That's the difference. You know? So therefore, that Krishna, Braja Krishna, can explain it if he comes as a devotee. Right? And then the point is if we're talking about Braja Bhakti, who's the devotee? Radharani. So he Krishna is coming as the devotee, but means this in the mood of Radharani. So that attitude, now he can explain all these things. And so we see the Acharyas mentioned, and how many of these points, you know, we've read before. You know? Yeah. But it's as we go through and study and discuss and all that, then we start to see things that we didn't see before. So that's the process. That's why by hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, that's then how the process works. But all this has been explained. Otherwise, if it was based on us, only when we made a little bit, then you'd get.
would be the position of other sampradayas towards Lord Chaitanya? Vaishnava sampradayas.
It means I don't understand the context.
Because we say that Lord
Chaitanya means they can go back to Godhead, but the point is none of them are trying to go to Braj. Of the four sampradayas, none of them are going. Two of them are in Vaikuntha itself proper, and two of them are in Goloka, but in lower Goloka, not in Gokul. So only Lord Chaitanya, that's why it says he's giving something never given before. Because you see that, you know, the Vallabhas and Nimbarkas, they talk about Radha Krishna and they talk about Vrindavan and all this, but Braj has never been given before. Or even in the Vaikuntha, they talk about Radha and Krishna and the gopis and like this in many of their songs. But the point is it's in connection with Narayana, so it has that touch of opulence to it. So it still will not be Braj. It'll be, because even if they go and they go to these areas within Goloka, right? Because they can, why not? But the point is that, you know, they're going to go, because let's say Ramanuja. Ramanuja then is an incarnation in some connection with Sesha. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means, so he's not there all the way through? Right? So Balaram's there in Dwarka. Balaram's there in Mathura. Right? Balaram's there in Vrindavan. So their guru's there. You understand? So he can get up to that, but because it has that element of opulence, it won't be Braj. So that's the whole thing, is that if you want to get to Braj, you have to follow Lord Chaitanya. And they all are following Lord Chaitanya in that as the Yuga avatar. Because they all do Sankirtan, they all do all these things. Even the Mayavadis do. Right? You know, it's just, that's what works. Yeah.
Can you say this one? That when Krishna came, he asked to surrender. And then when Lord Chaitanya came, he gave it freely. So that's why Lord Chaitanya gave something that was never given before.
Yeah, you could mean it's so many aspects are there. So yes, but the point is that when you say he's given that, but that means that you can get, but get what? Yeah, so it still comes back to there, but it doesn't mean you can't expand that down to all, so many aspects of the process. You know, it means who's on a large scale given it to, you know, all the Malechas and Yavanas. Like that, yeah, so therefore it's still, it's something never been done before. Well, here's now a different one. That was the same one?
No,
the other one was
a new one.
Yeah, this one's more gray. The other one was more the kind of brownie, the same kind of style. But it's interesting. They all walk either from that way or this way, and they all go through that door.
Because they catch mouse there.
Oh, I see. Okay, because it doesn't matter where they're coming from. That one right there. He's into the building. So they all walk into the building. You know, they may come from around there, they may come behind there, that one came in from that side over there. But they all go in that door. The door of no door. Maybe they just walk through, and when they get on the other side, then they take on a human form and sit down, have a seat, you know, drink some water. Yeah. Does that understand? So everyone's following the Nab Sankirtan. And they're all preaching, they're all doing kirtan, and then within their specific how their acharya is given it. But it's all there. So that way they're all following. Because all the acharyas have met Lord Chaitanya, so they're not going to do anything outside of that. But they're paving the way for Lord Chaitanya's mission itself. Lord Krishna therefore personally appeared with his plenary portions as Lord Chaitanya. As stated in this chapter, it was for this purpose that Lord Krishna appeared personally in Navadvipa in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Because it says he has three reasons for coming. Right? And so he comes and he does this. Right? Because if he just came himself, tasted Braja Bhakti and went away, then what's the point? He says it's nice, but because for him, it's him and his living entities. Therefore, he's going to involve them all. Krishnadas Kaviraj has herein presented much authentic evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures to substantiate the identity of Lord Chaitanya with Sri Krishna himself. He has described bodily symptoms in Lord Chaitanya that are visible only in the person of the Supreme Lord, and he has proved that Lord Chaitanya appeared with his personal associates, Sri Nityananda, Advaita, Garadhar, Srivas, and other devotees, to preach the special significance of chanting Hare Krishna. The appearance of Lord Chaitanya is both significant and confidential. He can be appreciated only by pure devotees, and only through the process of devotional service. The Lord tried to conceal his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by representing himself as a devotee, but his pure devotees could recognize him by his special features. Right? So when it says he's Channa Avatar, it means he's hidden. Doesn't mean that people can't figure out who he is, just that he himself makes the endeavor to be hidden. Right? But as devotees, then they reveal. The Vedas and Puranas foretell the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, but still he is sometimes called significantly the concealed descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Advaitacharya was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya's father. He felt sorry for the condition of the world because even after Lord Krishna's appearance, no one had interest in devotional service to Krishna. Because right after that, we go into Kali Yuga and we know, you know, I say, and the rest is history. Right? You know, so. Yeah. This forgetfulness was so overwhelming that Advaita Prabhu was convinced that knowing that Lord Krishna himself could enlighten people about devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Advaita requested Lord Krishna to appear as Lord Chaitanya. Offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water, he cried for the Lord's appearance, right? So it's not going, well, he did such technical puja. No, he does the standard technical puja, but his offerings were just tulsi leaves and water. So he's offering 16 items, but he's doing everything with this. So simple, because the main thing was focusing on that devotion. And then from that, as we saw before, like Chaitanya made the verse, or was quoted that verse, is that I was happily sleeping on the, you know, on the milk ocean, and then Nod woke him up, means Advaitacharya, with his loud cries, right? Because he's the primordial sound, so then he'll be heard. He cried for the Lord's appearance, right? That's the main point. Not that, oh yeah, he did this technical puja and this and that, no, because that's generally how we'll look at it. No, it's because of his devotion. Yeah, what's that puja? Yeah. Yeah. The Lord, being satisfied with his pure devotees, descends to satisfy them. As such, being pleased by Advaitacharya, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Because Krishna, all his expansions, whether they're Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva, or Jiva Tattva, like, they're all devotees of Krishna. Balaram's a devotee of Krishna. Mahanarayan's a devotee of Krishna. We were standing in the line to get into Tirupati. Right? And, you know, it's basically when you get in line where you can actually see the deity, then everyone starts chanting, go, and then before that, they just, you know, eat snacks and talk, right? You know, like that. So when they get to there, then he starts chanting, Govinda. And so I'm in the line, and I ask one of the Brahmins there, why do they chant Govinda? Because he's, you know, he's the Vishnumurti, like that. And they said, because what's his name? Balaji, because Balaji really likes remembering the pastimes. You know, they're saying that he did as Krishna and Vrindavan. That's his favorite pastime. So, to please him, we chant Govinda to remind him of those pastimes. Yeah. So, yeah. And then you have also the ask. Then I think we were talking with someone else, they were saying that where they put the deities to rest. There they have all pictures of Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan and everything like that. So that's the nicest place for the rest. You know, get away from the office, you know, just relax, you know. Yes, yes. So the point being is that, except being, I say, the Lord being satisfied by his pure devotees descends to satisfy them. Right? That's the point being made. As such, and based on that point, being pleased with the Dvaitacharya as a pure devotee, Lord Chaitanya appeared. So the point is all the Vishnumurtis, they're all pure devotees.
Yes.
Right? So everybody, all living entities other than Raja Krishna are all devotees. Pure devotees, right? So that's why we're being asked to come to that standard, because if we want to work in that scene, you have to be a pure devotee. They're all pure devotees. And we see that even the fun part is even Krishna, it's so wonderful, he comes as his own devotee. So that means everybody is a devotee of Krishna.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Right, you see, Krishna is always trying to please the devotees. So Krishna, he serves the devotees. Right? Devotees are surrendered to him, the pure devotees, and Krishna then pleases the devotees. So it's reciprocal. It's all based on this. It's all based on relationship. That's why being based on relationship, the prominent element isn't the jnana. But you have to have the proper understanding, the proper, sambandha jnana, to appreciate and approach so that you'll do the right thing. Because otherwise, without the proper knowledge, you might do something that's not appropriate. You know, like the sahajiyas or the smartas or like this. You know, it's just ritual, or we don't care for any ritual. It's all about knowledge, or we don't need any knowledge. So to balance that, then you have to have the proper understanding. Good? Yes? Good? No? Shlokana Sharanam. Verses 1 to 114. Okay. Slightly bigger chapters then. Commentary on verse 4. Okay, so of the 17 verses, right?
14.
Huh? 14. Oh, then he gave a few after that. So these 14, then he gives them, and then he explains them, right? So now we're on commentary on verse 4. Okay. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the potency of the shelter of his lotus feet, even a fool can collect the valuable jewels of conclusive truth from the mines of revealed scriptures. Right? So, if you surrender to Lord Chaitanya, then even someone who's a fool, he can collect these jewels because they know Krishna. That means you know everything. If you don't know the technical thing, you know why it works. Then you actually know. That's the purpose. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. I have given the purport of the third verse. Now, O devotees, please listen to the meaning of the fourth with full attention. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He is descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before. The most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Verse 4 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? So this is the verse. Now this is what will be discussed. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Braja, is the Supreme Lord. He eternally enjoys transcendental pastimes in his eternal abode, Goloka, which includes Braja Dham, Srila Prabhupada. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Krishna, the son of Brajendra, the king of Braja, is the supreme personality of Godhead, with six opulences. He eternally enjoys transcendentally variegated opulences on his planet, which is known as Goloka. The eternal pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual planet Krishna Loka are called Aprakrita, or unmanifested pastimes. Right? So even here, the pastimes are going on. It means here in Navadvip or in Vrindavan. But what's going on is the apricot pastimes. So what we see is that's non-different than what's going on in Goloka. That's why then it's to say there's no difference between the two. Just one situated above and one situated below. Is that? Or unmanifested, they're called aprakrita, or unmanifested pastimes, because they are beyond the purview of the conditioned souls. Lord Krishna is always present everywhere, but when he is not present before our eyes, he is said to be aprakrita, or unmanifested. Right? It says he's everywhere, so all these things, we can connect everything to Krishna, but we're not seeing. That's aprakrita. Right? So, as Prabhupada was mentioning, then, where he was mentioning? Was it ninth canto? When he was talking about the aspect where the pure devotees, they see differently than others? It means they see the objects that you can see, but they see them in their context of Krishna. So they actually see from a different perspective. Remember that?
11.
That was 11th canto. Okay. Yeah, so... Yeah. Oh, okay. So that aspect comes up is that there's both. He is everywhere. So if you see him, then that's the place where you're starting to appreciate. Mm-hmm. Right? But even though it's there, it'll still have that aspect of it's not with Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? It means on the platform of appreciation, then when it's very comfortable there. Mm-hmm. There's no sense of specifically being with or being away from Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's no sense of possession. So that understanding will situate you transcendentally and make you quite happy. Right? But at the same time as that goes farther, then you will see is that then Lord Chaitanya reveals the other rasas beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's a natural position to appreciate that position
mm-hmm.
as you advance.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time is one Lord Chaitanya's given you can advance beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, text 6. Once in a day of Brahma, he descends to this world to manifest his transcendental pastimes. We know that there are four ages, yugas, namely Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. These four together constitute one Divya Yuga. 71 Divya Yugas constitute one Manvantara. There are 14 Manvantaras in one day of Brahma. Right? So then you're discussing actual time. You understand this, then you're understanding time. Right? Srila Prabhupada. A manvantara is the period controlled by one manu. The reign of 14 manus equals the length of one day, 12 hours, right? In the life of Brahma. And the night of Brahma is of the same duration. Right? So they don't have a problem of, you know, they don't have a problem like they do in Lapland or stuff like that. You know, it's a nice 12 hours. It's like being on the equator, you know, it's days and nights are the same length. It never gets hot. It's just always balanced here. So. But Brahma Loka, it's got to be good, right?
It's on the equator?
It's in the position where it works on that. You know what I'm saying?
It
means
it doesn't matter. In Brahma Loka, it doesn't matter? The equator?
Not so much. It matters more for us. But I'm just saying it's like that. It's a balanced 12 days. Because you'll see at the equinox, the day and night are equal. Like we just passed it. So now we just started going where the night will start to get longer. And that'll go until around Gaur Purnima, and then that'll be again equal, and then it'll go the other way. So they don't seem to have that problem. Yeah. It means it's annoying when you want to go to bed, but it's 11 o'clock and the Sunday is not over yet because it takes 2 hours.
Yeah.
Then you finally go to sleep and all that, and then at 3 o'clock the sun is full, shining fully up in the window. That meant from 1 o'clock it was starting to get light again.
Yeah.
No, I figured it only dawned on me this year that that's why they make heavy curtains. You just close the curtains, go to bed, you just don't care, because you can't. And then when you get up in the morning, because you want to chant, you know, it's early morning, you leave the curtains closed, you don't open them.
Yeah,
you know, then you get in that japa, you know, in the early morning, even though the sun's been up for the last 3 hours.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. These calculations are given in the authentic astronomy book known as the Surya Siddhanta. A Bengali translation of this book was compiled by the great professor of astronomy and mathematics, Bimal Prasad Dutta, later known as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, who is our merciful spiritual master. He was honored with the title Siddhanta Saraswati for translating the Surya Siddhanta. And the title Goswami Maharaj was added when he accepted sannyas, the renounced order of life. So he was very expert in this. But we saw is that having done all this and that, then he saw he just got more into the devotional. And it's, you know, he has that knowledge, but it doesn't become prominent. Like Prabhupada, he would use certain things. It's just, you know, it's trouble. It means the planets are there, they're doing their thing, and we do ours. But if there's certain things we're trying to get something done, you want to avoid, because it's harder. You know, it's like you're saying, you start a journey on Thursday afternoon, it will be difficult, because it's always a kaldela. Right? So you just don't do that. You leave earlier, or, you know, you just don't leave at that time. Because you can, because it's devotional service. You'll be able to do your devotional service, it just may take you a lot longer than you expected. You know, I mean, that's just traveling. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he'd get everything ready for traveling and move it, and, you know, and then not go back. You know, he has his room. He would leave his room at a good time, then not go back in his room. And then they wanted to go in the afternoon, then he'd go. So he would consider, but it wouldn't rule the lives, you know. Even though he was, you know, Siddhanta Saraswati. Yes.
Interesting thing is, during the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's time, this field of astronomy is the cutting edge. And by the time of Prabhupada, medicine was the cutting edge, and Prabhupada was the greatest pharmacist of India.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, interesting. You heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. The present Manu, who is the seventh, is called Vaivasvata, the son of Vivasvan, also known as Shraddhadeva. 27 Divi Yugas, 27 by 4,320,000 solar years of his age have now passed. Right, so 27 Divi Yugas out of 71. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga of the 28th Divi Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Vrajadham. Right, so the 27 have passed, now the 28th is running, right? So now we're in the Kali Yuga of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just how you say? That's the way they work it here, like, how old are you? Oh, this is, you know, say, I'm this running.
Yeah.
Because it's only, you can say, let's say if you're 10, means, we'll say when you have your 10th birthday, you're 10. But don't say 10's running, so it's only when your 11th birthday, then technically now you're 10, you've completed 10. Like that. So it's a different way of looking at it, you know, so... So the same here. So he's completed 27, so now the 28th is running. So in that Dwapara Yuga, he comes, and then then Lord Krishna appears. Srila Prabhupada. Now is the term of Vaivasvata Manu, during which Lord Chaitanya appears. First, Lord Krishna appears at the close of the Dwapara Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga, and then Lord Chaitanya appears in the Kali Yuga of the same Divya Yuga. Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appear once in each day of Brahma, or once in 14 manvantaras, each of 71 Divya Yugas in duration. From the beginning of Brahma's day of 4,320,000,000 years, six Manus appear and disappear before Lord Krishna appears. Thus, 1,975,320,000 years of the day of Brahma elapse before the appearance of Lord Krishna. This is an astronomical calculation according to solar years, right? They're using the solar that is in there. Because in the solar year, you actually have, the solar year you have 360 days, like that. So what we're using, that's called the civil year. So that has more. And then you have the lunar year, which depending on the year can be shorter or longer. Like you see is when it's when the Purushottam Mas is, then it's actually longer than a solar year, and then it starts getting shorter till it gets, it's almost a month shorter. And then they put in the extra month and all that. And then I think the fourth one for us is the... No, that's too big. Brahmas, Prajapatis, Nakshatras, and Indra, those are too big for us. I think it's Jupiter. Like that. So I think we can work in those calculations. Because Jupiter a year is then 12 years. So we can function, we can relate to that. But the demigods, it's one of our years is one of their days. That's out of our, right, you know. So we can't get through one of their years, right? Okay. So for us, there's I think seven kinds of years, like calculations. But of that, we only use four. And so depending on what you're calculating, then you use the particular one. Does that make sense? So when it always talks about 360 years, 360 days, then they're talking about that the aspect of the solar year. So then sometimes, oh, no, but I calculated it's different. That's because you're using a civil year. And Prabhupada said right here, it's according to solar years.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. Servitude, dasya, friendship, sakya, and parental affection, vatsalya, and conjugal love, shringara, are the four transcendental mellows, rasas, by the devotees who cherish these four mellows. Lord Krishna is subdued. Right? So in other words, by Shanta, he's not exactly subdued. He'll reciprocate. You know, I mean, he's reciprocating with the materialist on their platform, so that's going to be there, but he becomes subdued by these four. Right? Because that sense of possession is there, so therefore that interaction actually controls him. The other one, that he's God, he's the Supreme, he's great, he's fabulous, and he'll reciprocate with them very, very lovingly. But it doesn't control him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
that's
right.
And you say that to come to that level, Shanta is like a step.
It's a step. It means if you're moving through, it's a step. But for some, that is their relationship. You know, it's just like the cows and the trees and that of Vrindavan. They're all in Shantaras.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That's what they mean. And they're quite comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Also, sometimes a misconception arises about the aspect of the devotees having Shantaras in Vaikuntha, or like the Lord is reciprocating. I think Jiva Goswami mentions those Shantaras acting as a, you know, assistance or subordinate to other four rasas.
Uh-huh.
So it is not counted in this.
So that's why it's not counted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not directly. They're assisting the other four. Okay.
So otherwise, Chandrasa represents the Brahmavadis or others.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the difference between those.
So even if it's in the devotional, it's still their assistance to the other four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So the soul
day. How does who work it out?
You know, like the civil calendar.
That exactly how that came up, I don't remember. I just saw some document on how there's these four that we can use. There's three more, as I mentioned, Indras, Prajapatis, Brahmas, like that we can't use. Also, I mean, it's also, you have the forefathers. There's all kinds of time in the universe. So that's why it says that knowing time up to this, that's then knowing time. So you know it from the, you know, from when it, say, time it takes for one ray of sunshine to cross over an atom. That's the shortest amount of time that can be measured. Up to the you know, Brahma's lifetime, or a day of Brahma. Suddenly you just have to go to a day. It's big enough for us. You know, but actually includes the lifetime of Brahma and like that. And then as we see Bhagavatam, it takes it beyond that to his lifetime, to then to Mahavishnu, where Brahma's lifetime was, you know, the 3/4 of a second. So that's why you're not gone that long from the spiritual world. Is that okay? Yeah. But it's just there, because the scriptures, they define all these. It's not that you have to figure it out yourself. So the scriptures, like you said, Surya Siddhanta will describe all this. So it'll give all those calculations there. Manu then mentions all the different time frames, because it's part of knowledge you need to know. And so then it's discussed. So it's standard Vedic knowledge. And then those who work in the field, then they'll work with the different years depending on what they're doing. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada. Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Sringara are the transcendental modes of loving service to the Lord. Shantaras, or the neutral stage, is not mentioned in this verse because although in Shantaras one considers the absolute truth, the sublime great, one does not go beyond that conception. So that's why it's not mentioned here. So therefore there's no control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You are not controlled, you don't control.
Yes.
It's just you're transcendentally situated like the Lord and appreciate that.
Yes.
So you're absorbed, you'll always be there, but since there's no possession, you can't have control.
Yes.
Right? Because unless it's yours, you can't control it.
Yes.
Right? So it's just, yeah. Shantaras is a very grand idea for materialistic philosophers. But such idealistic appreciation is only the beginning, right? So from the transcendental point, it's the beginning, right? It's spiritual, so therefore it'll be a grand conception from the material world, right? It is the lowest among the relationships in the spiritual world. Shantaras is not given much importance because as soon as there is a slight understanding between the knower and the known, active loving transcendental reciprocations and exchanges begin. Right? So that means this, because as soon as there's something, you start doing service. We see is that the living entity, they all start doing service. So that's already beyond that position. You may not have that realization, but you're already situated beyond that position. Dasya Ras is the basic relationship between Krishna and his devotees, right? So that's why I always talk about servants. Because with the others, there's not a specific service. They're just meditating on the Lord, appreciating the Lord. You know, seeing the Lord and everywhere and every, like this, that kind of thing. So that therefore, we're starting from the Dasya, and then we work up from there. So we become purified. Therefore, this verse considers Dasya the first stage of transcendental devotional service. Right? The other is spiritual devotional service, but this is transcendental. Does that make sense? Well, we use those two comparisons. Text 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You said that this is because when we receive initiation, we get the name Das.
Yes.
Because
we're servants of the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Because we're active servants like this. Okay. So that's what's being given, so that's what's being offered. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Krishna enjoys in Braja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus, "For a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees of Brajabhumi. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reference does not attract me, by such reverence." So that's the whole thing. Is for him, the whole world is useless if it doesn't bring you to this platform of pure and alloyed devotion. Right? So that's the point. Because he does this in the other ages as Vishnu, then he takes care of opening the doors for Vaikuntha. But in this time, in this, in the 28th Divya Yuga, then he comes to perform his pastimes to bring about Braj. So that's then the most important to him. Right? So if that, for that opportunity, for those who can go to that position, then he's opening that. Otherwise, the others he's taking care of in the other incarnations. Yes?
Does it mean that Mahaprabhu actually expects us to practice Rag Bhakti according to this statement?
Means it's, we're following in the footsteps of the residents of Braja. But the point is practicing Rag Bhakti means you have to come to that platform. And that will come by his grace. So when we practice devotional service with that intent in mind, him being pleased, then it happens. So it's definitely going to happen at the stage of Rati, but it may appear also before that. Right. acceptable. But that's what's being offered, so why not take it? It means if you don't, you want to do something else, hey, fine. But this is what's being offered, so... Srila Prabhupada. So that's the point, is as the reverence increases, that devotion becomes more feeble. Because it's more about the reverence to God rather than the devotion. Right? It means they'll go along together. If you're on the platform of pure devotion, they'll both be there. But it's just as it more it goes down, it attracts him less. Therefore, as Vishnu, he how much he manifests of his personality is less than he does if it has a mix of the sweet, stronger mix of sweetness, like you see in Krishna Loka.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So then it's more. But then when it's that there's no reverence, like, you know, like in Braj, then he's fully controlled. So because he is God, so, you know, for being, you know, as far as he's, you know, great, you know. You know, it's like, what do you call it? Yeah. After his appearance, Srila Prabhupada, after his appearance, Lord Krishna thought he had not distributed one transcendental personal dealings with his devotees in Dasya Sakya Vatsalya and Madhurya. One may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literatures, and thus become a devotee of the Lord and worship him within the regulative principles described in the scriptures. But one will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Brajabhumi. One cannot understand the dealings of the Lord in Vrindavan simply by executing the ritualistic regulative principles mentioned in the scriptures. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there's no chance for one to enter into personal dealings with him. Mm-hmm. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering into personal loving affairs with the Lord. To teach the principles of such loving dealings, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya. But, so, having said this, then one might think, oh, see, we don't have to do all these things and all the... But the point is this, he decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya. Then what's Lord Chaitanya giving? All these things. And Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, so he may be qualified, is open the first two chapters. So that's what's required. But because it's conclusion, now we will surrender and apply ourselves. Does that make sense? Right? So we shouldn't now, how you say, sharpen the knife on the tree and then cut the tree to check if the knife is sharp. So what is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what's given by Acharyas, that is what we're supposed to do. So we're careful not to do less, we're careful not to, you know, think that more will make it work better. What they've given us, that's what's important. And the range of technical is quite wide, so we can, you know, so much opportunity is there. Yeah. So one should be very careful about this. So you can see is, yes, it's about prema bhakti. It's about raga nuga bhakti. Right? But at the same time, it's with this proper understanding. You have to know the dealings, not what they're doing. Right? It's the mood in which Mother Jashoda cooks, not that she's cooking. Right? It's not that, oh, if I learn all the preparations, then I'll be on this. It's the mood. Why does she cook all those things? Because it pleases Krishna. So if you think, no, by technically knowing this, then not. No. It's knowing this to please Krishna. That's what's useful. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why the technical is important, because it will be used, but it's not the technical that reveals Krishna. It's the devotion. So... Yes, still the same. The primary. In other words, the primary becomes the most. So we see in Braj that focus on the primary is the maximum, because when we talk about God's opulences in the way of His grandeur, we're talking about the secondary, His energies, how they're manifesting, and all that, and that interaction with them. That's the secondary. We do that connected to Him as the primary. So because the grandeur goes up, then the particular direct focus on him himself as a person becomes less. That's why it's not that attractive to him. But whatever your level, he will reciprocate. So it's the Braja Bhakti that attracts his attention, because it's just about him as Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have that element of him being God.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupāda ki.